This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. It's great to have you listening today. Many school systems in the Milwaukee area had to scramble last week to find a new milk supplier, and 100 workers are looking for jobs after the sudden closure of the Golden Guernsey Dairy Plant. The 83-year-old milk producer went on to announce it's filing for bankruptcy protection. While dairy farmers around the country have faced challenging times in the last few decades, the closure of Golden Guernsey came as a shock to many dairy industry observers. But was the closure representative of greater issues facing the industry in Wisconsin? And what are the ripple effects likely to be? We sought out some perspective from Mark Stevenson. He's the director of dairy policy analysis at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and he joins us via Skype. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mitch. I'm glad to be here.
Can you put the Golden Guernsey closure in a statewide context for us? How significant a development is this to the statewide dairy industry?
Well, it's significant in a variety of ways. Golden Guernsey has been a rather iconic label. And, you know, the plant is one of the relatively few fluid plants that we have in the state. But in terms of the entire state's dairy industry, it is one plant among many. And I don't think we should probably take it out of context, you know, by suggesting that the one plant closure has a huge ripple effect and impact like it would in some other parts of the country.
As someone who keeps close tabs on this industry, were you surprised by the closure?
Oh, I was very much taken by surprise at the closure. I hadn't worked closely with the plant at all, and yet, you know, it was not the type of thing that I had heard any rumblings about prior to that happening. And normally, if a plant is in trouble or thinking about closure possibly, then normally you would have heard something. This happened very quickly.
Is this one of those stories where Golden Guernsey's loss may be someone else's gain?
Well, it's certainly going to be the case that it's somebody else's gain. The need for that milk is still existent, and the distributors were finding other sources of milk, so some other plants are picking up volume to supply the distribution system that the Golden Guernsey had in place. So that is a gain from that point of view.
The immediate reports in the Milwaukee area revolved around Golden Guernsey's role as a supplier to area school systems, but this was a company that was supplied by dairies around the region. So if I gather what you're saying, if I get what you're saying correctly, this is simply a case for dairy farms finding a new processor, is that right?
Well, dairy farms are certainly going to have to find a new market or processor for their milk, but we also have other fluid milk processors that are going to pick up that business that Golden Guernsey let go, and so they're going to need additional milk volume coming into their plants to process that, which is needed for the schools and the retail stores and the food distribution services, that type of thing.
Now, the number of milk plants in the country has dropped by about a third in the past 15 or 16 years, if I have my math correct. What is happening? Is this about greater industrialization, or are there other factors at work?
There are probably two factors at work. One of them that grabbed some headlines earlier this year was that the dairy industry passed a certain threshold that was a nice round number, and it made people become aware that we've had declining fluid milk production or fluid milk consumption in the country. We have just dropped below 20 gallons per capita. And, you know, we're down quite a fair amount from our high points back in the 1960s. But I think that this has more to do with consumption for stomach space and other beverage categories than it does anything that's a major flaw with the product. But I also think that the dairy industry has been in the process of remolding and making itself in a variety of different ways, because if you look at the total dairy product consumption, and that includes things like cheese is very prevalent from this state's production standpoint, our consumption is well up. And in fact, we have increased per capita consumption over the past 20 years.
And if I get what you're saying correctly, the issue might be nationally that 15 or 20 years ago, the options might have been milk or soda or juice, and now there are just far more beverages that are out there?
many more beverages that we compete with. And, you know, milk seems like a staid and old product, still enjoyed by many, many people, but not enjoyed so much as a refreshing beverage like we used to think of it. We have a lot of other competitors in that space. So, you know, milk has been ceding some of that ground.
What are the major financial pressures that are facing companies like Golden Guernsey and other large-scale beverage milk producers?
Well, one of the pressures, of course, is just the demand for the product. But the other thing that's been a continuous pressure at the processing level has been the just the returns that a plant can have to scale economies. So, in other words, a much larger plant can put milk in a bottle or a jug at a much lower cost than a small plant can. And we've seen a tremendous consolidation of fluid milk plants. We still are processing more fluid milk than before, even though the per capita number has declined. And, you know, this has meant that fewer plants have much larger volumes to process. The trade-off, of course, between this economic benefit of becoming larger and processing more at a single plant is that you have to bring milk in from a larger distance away to process, and that has costs associated with it. And you have to distribute your finished product to retail stores and schools and districts over a larger distance too. But obviously, those economies of scale have justified this consolidation, because that's been happening for a long time. Back in 1975, just as an example, we had more than 2,500 fluid milk plants in this country. And, you know, today we have something in the neighborhood between 300 and 400 fluid plants in this country.
The full story of what was happening at Golden Guernsey is still sort of being sorted out, I gather, through the bankruptcy filing. But based on what you know, the Golden Guernsey situation, was it emblematic of an issue facing the Wisconsin dairy industry as a whole, or was this really about this one company in particular?
I think that this is more about one company in particular. Now, the plant was put up for sale a number of years ago by Foremost Farms. It was purchased by Dean Foods, which is a large national fluid milk processor. And Dean Foods was required to sell the plant because of concerns over a non-competitive ownership of plants in this region of the country. And they sold that plant to a consortium of investors who, as I understand it, did not have any, you know, history or background of being dairy plant owners, let alone fluid milk plant owners. So there certainly can be some issues or problems there. I'm sure that Dean Foods didn't buy this plant because they thought that it was a poor investment initially. They had to let that plant go.
There was a concern about a huge potential spike in milk prices as the fiscal cliff loomed and the farm bill was set to expire. How does ongoing uncertainty over the farm bill yet today affect the finances of Wisconsin's dairy industry?
Well, nobody likes uncertainty, and uncertainty can certainly cause problems as people speculate about what that would mean. We had a fair amount of that as we headed right toward the end of the year this past year, the so-called dairy cliff, you know, with old legislation that would come into play if we didn't pass at least an extension of the farm bill quickly like we did. So we're facing that again this next year. This extension only pushed the problem down the road until, you know, roughly September, or the end of September would be the latest before we would need to make another pass at either extending the policy or passing the actual farm bill. So I think we'll be better off when we pass a farm bill and we get another 5 years or so of policy in place, and people will try to make their production decisions based on that to some extent.
Well, Mark Stevenson, thanks so much for giving us some perspective on this whole situation.
You're welcome, Mitch.
Mark Stevenson is Director of Dairy Policy Analysis at the University of Wisconsin and its Center for Dairy Profitability. You can find a link to more about the center from wuwm.com/lake effect.
No milk today, my love has gone away. The bottle stands for a symbol of the door.